Welcome to the Sales Thinker Radio Show, where we pick the brains of sales professionals, managers, and executives who are serving their customers, advancing the state of our art, and exceeding their goals. Sales Thinker Radio is brought to you by Dreamland Interactive in Atlanta, Georgia, building e-reps and solving the prospecting problem. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good morning and welcome back to Sales Thinker Radio. I'm your host, Todd Youngblood. Joined on the line, as always, by my partner, pal, and co-host, Todd Schnick. Sir, how'd you do this weekend?
Had a good weekend, getting ready to move. So spent most of the weekend packing boxes. It was tons of fun.
I know. As you know, I moved a lot in my younger days, 9 times to be exact, and I do not envy that. So I don't even want to talk about it. It brings back too many nightmares. I think we ought to just dive into our guest.
This Good
is going
idea.
To be a really fascinating conversation. Feel like we've got kind of part sales expert, part English teacher. And the audience, you'll all know what we're talking about in a minute, but I'd like to introduce Ann Miller, who's a communication specialist and the author of the new book, The Tall Lady with the Iceberg, The Power of Metaphors to Sell, Persuade, and Explain Anything to Anyone. Love that title. Ann, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Just to get us started off, Ann, trace us a little bit through your background.
Okay. It's a checkered background. Started out as an English teacher, left, got odd jobs on Wall Street, wound up selling advertising. Someone took me to a seminar, and I said, wow, that's what I want to do. Always wanted to act, and great to be on stage. So I went into the training industry some 25 years ago, and different gigs, and then went out on my own. And basically what I do is help people create change and make a lot of money through sales and presentation skills programs and coaching.
Gosh, when you say checkered background, I think of Todd Schnick, but I think we won't go there either.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, it's funny how things happen. I wasn't planning to write the book. I was doing a presentation seminar for Business Week many years ago, and in the course of doing that, you mentioned the power of metaphors to make a point. And one of the salespeople in the seminar said, gee, that's really interesting. Is there a book on that? And I thought for a second, and then I said, not yet. And that was the genesis for the book. I had always been fascinated by the power of visual language to make a point, to change minds, make an impact. And so I've been collecting metaphors and studying it, and so I decided to write the book.
And, you know, when I sit back and I think about the communication I do over the course of a typical day, not just in business, but in my home life and interacting with friends, I'm using metaphors all the time. You don't even realize that you're doing it, but it's just such an embedded part of how a lot of people communicate. I mean, what is it about metaphors that makes them such powerful communication tools?
Well, you know, you're really raising 2 points. One is everyone does speak in metaphors. It's really hard not to use some kind of a metaphor in about every other sentence. You know, every time you say, my computer crashed, I don't have the bandwidth to process that. It's hot as hell, cold as ice. You're talking metaphorically. And what makes them so powerful is that they deliver a punch that a lot of explanation doesn't deliver. You get it right away. And because we tend to be visual in how we remember things, how we see things, it stays with us. So it's not a surprise that you realize that you do this all the time. My evangelism, if you will, is to say that in the 21st century, where we have so much information, so hard to get people's attention, that what you and I do and everyone else does casually in conversation needs to be elevated to a strategic skill. Because that's the only way you can break through and get people to go, hey, oh, now I get it. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. Or, hey, that's really important. That appeal to the visual and the emotional is critical today. And metaphors and analogies do that.
And tell us a little bit about the metaphor that's in the book title. I mean, I have a very clear image of you carrying an iceberg around New York City.
Well, actually, it comes from a moment in the seminar when I'm making a point that we remember visually. There's a PowerPoint slide with an iceberg on it, and it just popped into my head one day to say, you know, if you and I meet on the street 5 years from now, you are likely to forget my name, but you will always remember me as the tall lady with the iceberg. I'm 5'11". And people laugh at that because they realize it's true. Think about it. When you were back in college, and I know that was more than a few years ago, Todd.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, for that, Todd.
When you took an exam and you did not remember the answer to the question, didn't you sit there and think, darn, it was in the second paragraph on the upper right-hand page, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Or you walk down the street and you meet someone you haven't seen in years, and you say, oh, I know you, I know you. As you go through your mind to figure out how you know that person, I will bet you anything that what goes through your mind is not words, is not numbers, but it's images. And you always say, oh, I remember you. You were the kid in the second grade who sat behind me. We always remember in images. And that's the power of metaphor. It's all about being visual.
And a lot of people say that good marketing is just good storytelling. Is it fair to say that what you're really talking about here is just enabling someone to tell good stories by utilizing metaphors?
Yeah, I mean, storytelling is very popular these days. And a metaphor is really a condensed story. So a recent good example is the fiscal cliff, right? We all know what that means. We all know it's dangerous. We all know it's bad. And embedded in that one image is deficit issues, budget issues, problems in Congress. So that metaphor really is a very condensed story. Having said that, a story can be used as a metaphor. Cartoon can be used metaphorically. A prop can be used metaphorically. Telling a story to make a point, to open up a talk, for example, and then using it to link to your key point is a fantastic way to get people's attention, because stories are by nature appealing to the visual and the emotional parts of us. So yeah, story is a great use of metaphor.
Well, you just illustrated my point, Anne, that I have been reading about and watching and observing and commenting on the fiscal cliff, but it never connected in my head that I was, when I was discussing that whole affair, that it was a metaphor. I mean, I don't think people realize how often, every day I say to my wife, God, the bedroom is as cold as ice. we do it all the time.
And you know what's funny? When people are angry, they always spit out a metaphor. They don't realize it. For example, if you've ever been stuck in traffic on a highway or a freeway, how many times have you thought, damn, this is like a parking lot?
We're in Atlanta, Anne, every day.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
If your kid is not cleaning up the room, how many moms have said, what do you think I am, your maid? Right?
I can still hear my mom saying that.
It pops out. Just pops out.
Anne, a couple of minutes back, you made the comment that communicating with metaphors needs to become a, quote, strategic skill, unquote. Yeah. Of all the strategy discussions I have had in my whole career, I don't recall that the idea of metaphors being strategically important ever coming up. How do folks react when you say that? And after they think about it for a while, do they begin to change their minds?
They begin to see the power of it. You know, once you give examples like fiscal cliff, they begin to see the power of it. But, you know, think about it. We're in a time where there's a lot of information. People are tuning out more than tuning in. Most products and services begin to blur in the minds of buyers and users because they're pretty similar. And attention spans are shorter and shorter and shorter. So what's going to get attention? 100 pages of information, 25 slides, or one hard-hitting image? And, you know, this is not new. Advertisers have used this forever. One of the most famous ad campaigns, remember the ad campaign for Michelin tires? A baby sitting on tires?
Yep.
And we're promoting safety. I mean, that's it. You get it right away. You don't have to go into how many treads are on the tire or anything else. You get it. Michelin means safety. And so it's the nature of what's happening today, which is making, I think, people need to look at this overlooked tool that's available to everyone, to everyone. They just have to think about it.
All right. We'll be back with Ann Miller after this short commercial break.
When they Google, will you be there? Your prospects and customers are not just searching. They're scouring the internet.
getting themselves through as much as 80% of their buying process before they have any interest whatever in talking to you. No strong online presence? You don't even get to compete. To establish and grow that online presence, you need an e-rep, a digital extension of yourself. And that's where Dreamland Interactive comes in. Whether it's establishing your e-rep for the first time, making it more visible to the search engines, or doing the really challenging work of harvesting great content, Dreamland Interactive e-rep processes and tools can help. Learn more about how Dreamland Interactive can shorten your sell cycle at dreamlandinteractive.com.
All right, and we're back with Ann Miller, author of The Tall Lady with the Iceberg.
And just before the break, you were talking about Michelin as with the baby as an example of one metaphor. And I imagine you must have a collection that's pretty huge. Give us another two or three examples of really powerful uses of metaphors. And more importantly, what kind of results came out of them?
Okay. One is actually from my own background. A few years ago, I was asked to come in along with everyone in New York City to pitch for the business of an advertising agency. And the number one requirement for getting the business was that you had to have had advertising agencies in your background. In other words, you had to have had clients who were in the ad business. And one of the people I was competing against was a man who specialized in ad agency training. Now, I knew that if I went in and just said, oh, I'm wonderful, look at all my clients, hire me, I was not going to get the job because the buyer was so set on you needed to have an ad agency in your background. That was their perception. That was the criteria. So I knew I needed a metaphor to change the way she saw things. That's the power of metaphor and analogy. It changes the way people see things. It reframes it so that they go, oh, I get it now. And so it took me a couple of days to dream this up, but I got it. I went in and she said, yes, you're a very nice person and all of that, but you do not have any ad agencies in your background. And I said, you're right. But let me ask you a question. You just won the DHL account, the overnight courier business. How much experience did you need to have in the overnight courier business to have the right to do their advertising? And she said, well, none. I said, exactly. You would learn the dynamics of the overnight courier business the way you've learned the dynamics of every other account that you have. The same is true with me. I have had accounts in all areas, from investment banking to the military to pharma. And I'll learn the dynamics of the advertising agency business just as I learned the dynamics of those industries. You just have to be sure I'm the best damn person around to do presentation skills training. And she paused, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and nobody said anything. And finally, she said, oh, I mean, she got it. If she eliminated me because I didn't have an ad agency in my background, she would have had to eliminate her agency as having the right to do advertising for anybody in a new category. And I actually wound up getting the business and had the business for years and made lots and lots of money off that. But it was using the analogy from her world that made her change the way she saw something. So that's one example of how thinking about the other person and how they see things and how can you change, flip the way they see what they're looking at to get what you want.
And set aside for a minute our conversation at the top half of the show, how everybody uses metaphors, even if they don't realize they're doing it. If you tell someone, all right, you need to start integrating a metaphor strategy into your process, they're going to begin to say, oh, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the creative juices to do it. How do you deal with people like that? How do you coach them to come up with winning metaphors?
Well, number one, you point out that they're already talking in metaphors. So it's not like a language they have to learn. They already do that, which is what we said earlier in the show. And number two, there really is a very simple process. The first thing that you do is think, what is the point I want to make? The second thing that you want to do is think about the other person. And that's the most important thing. What do I know about the other person? What industry are they in? What sports do they like? What hobbies do they like? Where do they live? What do you know about them? Because that's going to be the source for your metaphor. And then you create it and relate it back. It's really that simple. The trick is that you want to come up with a number of different possible metaphors or analogies based on what you know about the other person, and then pick the one that works the best. For example, in the technology field, I was just looking in Business Week this week, and they're talking about computing and things that are computing interfaces and new companies. And they talked about a new company that designed a small square array of electrodes for the blind. And you place it on the tongue. And it says, when placed on the tongue, like a lollipop, it turns the feed from a video camera into a pattern of tactile stimulation. The sensation is like sparkling water or Pop Rocks candy. So you see here in a technical article, they're explaining something new using another world candy to explain what it is. And then we all get it. Now we understand how this thing works. We may not be able to create it, but we understand how it works. So it's really thinking about what the other person knows and saying it's just like. Bottom line, just keep thinking it's just like and you'll get it.
And I want to take my last question and kind of flip it on its head. Okay. I'm sure, I mean, you've got a huge collection of metaphors that have worked well. What do you do in a situation where you come up with, you know, inside your own brain, it seems like a great metaphor, but then when you say it, it really doesn't work? Do you have any examples of bad uses of metaphors and how to recover from it?
First of all, if you're going to be using a metaphor for a major speech or sales meeting or any kind of internal meeting, I would definitely test it with somebody first. Maybe one of the worst metaphors I heard was some fellow who was saying that computers or PDAs, your Blackberries, your Androids, your iPhones, smartphones, have become as ubiquitous as, now think what you would say, something like a smartphone has become as ubiquitous, as necessary as, and he came up with toilet seats. No, that works.
Okay.
Right? See, true.
Yeah. True, yeah.
They're necessary, I grant you that. But the association is not quite the same. So that's one he should have tested and maybe come up with something like, you know, your cell phone is as necessary as your automobile. That would work. So you need to test it with somebody. And by the way, I do a monthly Metaphor Minute newsletter, which is free, which has a story every month of someone who's used metaphors in business effectively. I love doing those stories. So people can sign up for that, the website.
Well, I must be the outlier because the toilet seat reference really impacted me. So hey, Ann, what I'm thinking about in the context of our conversation so far, I've been thinking about it delivering a presentation or face-to-face someone in a sales call, but does the power of this apply to other types of communications and content marketing? I'm thinking written articles and videos and podcasts and blog. I mean, this applies to all forms of human communication and social media, yes?
Absolutely, particularly in titles. One of my favorite titles when I do an article on this is All Talk, No Traction, because people understand traction, you know, automobile tires. I think if you just have presentation tips or communication tips, it gets lost in a million other examples of the same thing. So yeah, if you can use metaphors or analogies, think like Einstein, create like Michelangelo, talk like Steve Jobs. People get it. They like it. They're attracted to that. It talks to the right brain, definitely. And I think also that when you are making a point in any content, it's really good to underscore it with a metaphor or analogy. People remember that. Can I give you one quick example of that?
Please do.
One of my favorites is something I read in the Wall Street Journal a while ago. I forget who it was. Somebody from Harvard was talking about what happens when two large companies merge. It's usually a disaster because they're HR systems, their technology systems, their cultures just don't blend. And it was a fairly lengthy article about what goes wrong. But he concluded his article by saying, look, when two elephants mate, you don't get a gazelle. Isn't that great?
Yeah, you don't forget that.
You don't forget that. And it captures the entire point of the article. And that's why. And if you actually read your op-ed pages of the whatever newspaper you read, they're filled with these things. And I encourage people to look at the op-ed pages, the sports pages, the science pages of their publications, the business pages, and you'll see lots and lots of metaphors and analogies being used to explain things, to simplify things, to drive things home. And what I'm saying is use them, steal them, collect them, mimic them in your own world. It really works.
Outstanding. Well, Anne, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, learn about your work, and get a copy of The Tall Lady with the Iceberg?
They can actually go to my website, which is annmiller.com, annemiller.com. They can get information on the book. They can sign up for the newsletter, and they can also get the book off the site, or they can get it through Amazon.
Ann Miller, a communication specialist and author of The Tall Lady with the Iceberg. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of today's guest, Ann Miller, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next time on Sales Thinker Radio.